It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Tell me your journey to doing stand-up.
So then I did a horror film. It was my first big feature film called
But Play. You have an agent, I'm saying.
I didn't have an agent.
Okay, go ahead.
I was in New York still. So I did that. And then I met my friend David Gregory, who directed it. And he was like, if you want to do TV film, you should go out to LA. And I had met this, my first experience with LA was pretty brutal because I met this lawyer guy while I was waitressing. And I was like, oh, you know, this is going to be my big Hollywood story. I was discovered. And he introduced me to this manager who was this like Russian lady, you know, working in
Jewish.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know, actually.
Okay, well, we're going to make her Jewish. Okay, because I wanted to ring the bell.
She was Jewish, yeah. She had a Theraball, like the one in I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah, I have the Theraball right here. Yeah.
She had that as her office chair.
Well, yeah. I sit on that, too. And I do, back exercises. Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably good for you.
Did she have a holder for the Theraball?
Probably.
I don't have the holder. I just sit on the ball. All right, go ahead.
So anyway, yeah. So she sent me on a ton of auditions and I bombed all of them.
Oh, please.
Yeah, no, it was like, I didn't understand what pilot season was. I didn't understand the pressure.
But so, isn't that good though?
You'd think, but I think I just wasn't prepared.
Right.
Like, I don't think it was like a good not prepared. I think it was like, you know.
So would she call you and be like, listen, Erica, I don't know what accent this is, but just go with it. Erica, they said you were not prepared. I cannot represent you. What the fuck is going on here? I cannot do this anymore. Like, what happened?
Well, she kind of did that, but in a more passive aggressive way. So she said, I don't know. I don't understand what's happening because we are not getting any callbacks. So can you come in and just read with us for a bit? So I read with her assistant and he's like, she's fine. She's good.
Right.
And then they sent me again out for like 10 more and I bombed again. And then she ignored me. I got like the cold shoulder. I came to
see her. She ghosted you?
She like, yeah, they were the assistant, you know, was like looking at me and looking at the guy next to me who obviously had an appointment with her.
Right.
And shifting back and forth between us, looking at me.
Right.
She's at lunch, but she'll be back soon. But she's at lunch, but she's coming on her way.
Right.
So, and I was like, oh, I get it. So I laughed. Wait,
did you feel defeated? Like,
oh, humiliating.
I mean, it is
awful. Yeah. I felt awful. I felt like I blew my one big chance. You know? I was like, it's over.
What was her company like? Was it a successful? Did she have like clients that worked?
Yeah, I think she did, but I think that she has that sort of like throw it up against the wall and see if it's
I
think she took on a lot of young people and then would just drop them, you know, if they didn't book something right away.
Is she still around?
Yeah.
I'm going to look her up and find out who she is. I hate that passive aggressive shit. Don't you?
I know. Just tell. Like, why can't you just come and say, you know what? It's not going to work out, but like,
you're
the best. And why don't you like take some more classes or, you know?
Yeah, we tried and we're feel like you're not prepared, but, you know, keep in touch. But to fucking make you sit there and the poor assistant.
I know.
It's just fucking,
so
this is
cold.
I fucking hate. So did you ever see her?
Never saw her again.
You just got up and were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I call my friend sobbing. Like she, you know, they're not going to represent me. And she ghosted me.
Fuck her.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens?
So then I just decided I'm going to move there anyway. Cause I was just stubborn and decided next time I'm going to be prepared. And I had a friend who I'd gone to acting school with and she lived in Mar Vista. My neighbor just moved out. So I moved in right next to her.
And how old are you at this point?
23.
Okay. And you moved to California and your parents are like, okay.
It's so funny when you keep saying my parents, because I like can't remember having any talks with them about moving to LA. Like, I remember talking about moving to New York.
Right.
But I just feel like I decided to move to LA and no one had any say. Like, I feel like no one said anything.
Well, as a mother, a Jewish mother, where everything is fucking gone over and over and over and processed and reprocessed, you know, that's why I'm like a little bit in shock. Okay. So you're 23, you're living in Mar Vista.
Yeah.
When does the stand-up start?
Oh, I should also just say that Garrison also talked me into moving to LA, because I did the show out here and then he drove me around and kind of tried to sell LA to me and was like, I think it's a good idea for you.
And he was a really good mentor for you. Like he really helped you.
Yeah. I mean,
he
probably was the first person to really believe in me as a, you know, funny person.
Right. Yeah. He definitely saw it when you were very little. So, okay. So you're 23.
Yeah.
I want to get into the stand-up. How do you get,
it's like 2 hours in.
Yeah.
So it, honestly, I was here for another probably 5 years before I started stand-up. So I started pretty late.
So what were you doing for 5 years? You were going on auditions?
I did a web series that was like pretty big and I got paid, you know, pennies for it, but it was something. And
You were booking stuff.
I was booking like very underground stuff.
Right.
You know, I didn't really get any TV work.
Right. Enough to say, hey, I can, you know, I can stay here and figure this out.
Yeah. Okay. Probably the first 5 years are all things I wish I could erase from my resume.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So you're 28 then when you first do stand up?
Yeah. I think I was 28 or 29 when I actually started. Yeah. The way I started was I got a manager because I was writing to managers trying to get representation.
Like what? Like Dear Diary? Like what would you write to them?
Emails? Yeah. So the way I got my manager is I wrote, I'm a young Maria Bamford.
Right.
Subject. And because I found someone sent me a clip of Maria Bamford doing her web series, like her first web series where she was doing like that depressed, you know, the depressed, like people are scared of the dark, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
And I just thought, who is this person?
Yeah.
Like, she is so fascinating. Like she's not my impression of a stand-up. Like I always thought like women who did stand-up were like these, you know, like tough chicks, you know, like, you know, real ballsy.
Like Judy Gold. Thank you.
Good night. Like Judy. I thought they were all like Judy Gold.
Yeah.
And I was like, here was this sort of vulnerable, you know, different person, quirky.
Yeah.
And I sort of fell in love with her and I watched all her stuff, but I still didn't equate myself. Like I still didn't think stand up.
Right. Right.
Thought, oh, I'm funny and quirky like she is.
Like she is. Yeah.
And I don't really fit in anywhere. Like I would audition for like pretty girl roles. And I just felt like I was always the girl where my hair wasn't right.
Or something was off.
And I always looked at all the other girls. And I was like, I'm not the pretty girl. Like, I don't want to be the pretty girl. Like, this isn't me, you know? So I just kept kind of veering towards quirky people. And I found Maria and, you know, Bruce, my manager now, wrote back and said, you know,
Bruce, what's his name?
Bruce Smith.
I love Bruce Smith.
You know Bruce Smith?
Oh my God, forever. I tried to fix him up with my sister like 35 years ago. I love him. Yes, oh I love Bruce God. Smith. Yes.
Did you know he was my manager?
No, but I love him.
Okay, yeah. So he met with me and said, I don't think you're like Maria, you know, but I do think you're funny. And, you know, we had this long, lunch or dinner. I forget what it was, where we were, but we had Thai food and he was telling me like, you're funny. What's your goal? And he's like, and I was like, my goal is to be on SNL. And he's like, get a different goal. And
I love you, Bruce. Thank you.
He's like, don't be, he's like, SNL's not the fit for you. You're not an impressionist. You're not a person. He's like, but I could see you doing stand up. And it was another year.
So he represent. He came to you at okay. That's
as
so.
An
that's
great. And he was, you know, impressed by Prairie Home and everything,
right?
And so he did see me as a funny person, but he didn't see me as a you know, like a sketch or
right
kind of thing.
So he's the one who told you to do stand up.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like I had little clues from other people, but he's the one who just point blank said, I think you should do stand up.
And so how do you go? What do you do? This is so, fascinating to me that it's someone tells you to do it and then you're going to, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I didn't listen for a while. I was auditioning and I would get close to getting signed and not get it. I got, you know, it's like I got pinned for like that show Brockmire. I was pinned for like 6 months. Then I didn't get it. Like things like that just kept happening.
Right.
And so I was getting really frustrated and, then finally, when I had that Parks and Rec audition, I felt like that was that. That's it. That's my turning point. And I went and I did an open mic and I taped it. And I was like really proud that I did it because I was.
Where'd you do the open mic?
It was called Talking Stick and it was in Venice. And it was like mostly like hipsters and homeless.
Did you tell anyone?
No. But then
what was your material?
It was all about the audition. It was all like, I just had the worst. It was all about my life falling apart. Cause I had also gotten my car, had just been, what do you call it? When they put the
repossessed
or, they put the thing on it.
Yeah.
You know, cause I hadn't been paying my parking tickets. So like that was a mess. And you know, I was living in the crappiest apartment. So I was talking about my life falling apart. And then I talked about how bad the audition was.
Did you get laughs?
I think I got laughs, but it wasn't really it wasn't stand up. It was more like performance art.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then I reenacted the audition. And I had like someone play the casting director and I was like, I just need to do this for myself and redo the audition.
That's so funny.
I redid it and I had them play the, you know, and so I did that whole thing. And then I was proud I did it and I posted it on Facebook. And then Bruce is immediately like, take that down. Like, why are you posting this?
Right.
No. And so then I took it down, but Bruce, then I felt humiliated. Cause I was like, I did something wrong.
God. I know it's constant, right?
Constantly like beating yourself up. So,
right.
So I probably, the ironic thing about it is that, when I posted it, this girl I had met at an audition at where we met because we had both applied for the part of medium girl. That was the whole description. Medium, like size.
What does that mean?
Medium. Just that was it. It was like body type. Medium. And she and I were the only. We were the only women in LA
who were medium.
Who identified as medium.
As medium. That is fucking hilarious. Body type medium. I would definitely not fit into that category of body type medium. Body type medium, fucking enormous. Huh?
Tall. Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. Oh my God. Body type medium.
Yeah. So medium. So we were laughing hysterically because it was just the two of us.
Right. I
mean, out of everyone in LA, there were only two women who were like, I think I'm a medium.
and so, what was it for?
It was like some commercial or something.
Right.
I don't think either of us got it, which is weird because I think we were the only ones there.
That is fucking hilarious. Maybe it was just like a, you know, sex thing, trafficking.
Who knows? I don't remember. All I remember is that she and I laughed hysterically that we were the only ones there.
That is hilarious. Okay. So,
and she ended up booking a show called, the show Insecure. Her name's Veronica Mannion and she does a lot of acting work. So she and I are still friends, but she saw that I posted that video and she's like, oh, you're doing stand up now. Do you want to do my show? And she had a show. So then I had a reason I had to learn how to do it. Cause I actually had a show.
So how did you teach yourself how to do it?
Well, Bruce, again, helped me because Bruce is like, you can't just get up and just talk. Like, you've got to have jokes. And I'm like, I don't know if you were the type of stand-up who started writing jokes in year five, but I was not that type of stand-up. Right. I wasn't like, oh, I was writing jokes when I was a child. Like, it was funny, but I wasn't conscious of it, you know?
Right.
So he like really went, he's like, you got to have a twist at the end.
A twist? Okay.
Really rudimentary.
Bruce, stuff. Really? Okay, yeah.
So he was my first teacher, you know, really with like, you know, teaching me how to write.
I love that he did that. So when did you, so you went from these alt sort of rooms to, how did you get into the comedy clubs and community and all that?
Well, stuff? I started in LA, which is a weird place to start.
Yes, for sure. Right?
Like I wish I had started earlier in Boston.
In Boston. Boston. We used to go to Boston all the time to do stand up in the 80s and 90s. Yeah.
Did you start in New York?
I did. Yeah. I started in the early 80s, early mid. But yeah, a lot of us, it was so great because we could drive 3 hours or 3+ hours, whatever, and go do like Knicks. There were 3 shows on. There are so many nights I drove to and from Boston.
Wow.
And yeah. Calhoun's.
I met Steve Byrne, who said recently, just pretend you started in Boston because you'll get more street cred.
Yeah. It is weird to start in LA because most people do not start in LA. Yeah. So where are you going? And do you get into the regular, the store and the improv and the Laugh Factory? Do you start?
No, it took me a while. I think I got into Comedy Magic before anywhere else, because I was working clean.
Right. They love clean there. Yeah.
Yeah. I had like good short jokes and they liked me. So
what was your first joke?
Joke was that my mom and I are a lot alike in that she turned down Harvard and I also didn't go to Harvard.
That's funny.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? Is I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know. It's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
So how many years till you feel like, now I am very old fashioned and I feel like it takes at least 10 years to even know what the fuck you're doing up there. So how many years to you now, granted you've had stage time before this. So that's part of the whole process is feeling comfortable on stage. So don't you think you had a little bit of a head start because of...
I do in a way. I still feel new though. I feel the same way that you feel where I'm like, I still don't think I know what I'm doing,
Well, you'll figure it out. It takes like 15 years, but it's like where you're like, I mean, I honestly feel more comfortable on stage, talking than I do. Like, I just love it. I feel it is... like my home base is.
Well, I feel more comfortable on stage than like in normal social settings already, but I still don't always feel like I still don't feel like I'm just talking all the time, which is.
I read you an article where you said, I just want to feel like I'm just talking,
I don't want to feel like I'm performing at all,
So, was it hard for you to write jokes or, Bruce was like, all right, you got to write jokes. So you write these jokes you have to be conversational too, in a way. Like, I remember when I first started and I was young and everyone was like, and I would just write, I had this material about being tall and my mother and everyone's like, why can't you just talk to the audience and be funny off the cuff like you usually are? And I was like, And then I started emceeing. I said, that's what helped me to break that fourth wall and become more conversational. But it was the 80s and, you know, and I was getting more stage time.
And I sort of skipped that step, which is maybe detrimental. You know,
I
didn't host, but I wasn't great at hosting because of that brain thing. I couldn't remember, you know, the people I was introducing.
Right. Yeah. That's the other part.
That's the main job. Yeah.
Okay. So when do you start getting comedy work, stand-up work?
Kind of early on, you know, considering. I mean, I started headlining when I had only been doing stand-up for maybe like 4 years.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Did you feel like, oh, fuck? Were you insecure? Because
I mean, I was terrified. Yeah, right. I had like all my jokes on little note cards and I was in my hotel like studying them for 3 hours before the show. And now I just show up and I'm like, you know, whatever. But I was like, you know, I have to memorize these jokes and I have to do them in this order. And if I get it wrong, you know, they'll know. And it was, so.
Yeah, that's the process of like being able to just be free and organic on stage. So 4 years and you had to do 45 minutes?
Yeah.
How was that 45? Like, how was it? Did you feel?
I don't think it was good. Right. No, I don't think it was good at all.
And who was like opening for you?
I don't remember. I think it was at Punchline in San Francisco.
Oh my God. Were you getting money? Were you getting good money?
No. It was
okay.
You know,
but it's so hard because being a headliner, it's a big responsibility.
It is. I mean, I still feel that. I still feel like you have to deliver, you know, you don't want, like, they paid to be there.
They
it's their night out, you know, and you're going to disappoint them if you're not good.
And like the easiest spot, of course, is the feature act. It's like you go up 25 minutes, 30 minutes, done, over, you know. They're already warmed up.
I did do that for quite a long time. I did feature for a couple years.
It's the
best. I
was
still featuring 4 years in, but I just had like a couple headline gigs.
Right.
A little early. And I think it was probably a little too early.
So how do you get your first special? I mean, you're very lucky. Do you realize that? Even though the fucking, I don't know what that fucking noise is, but.
Yeah, that's my Jewish bell.
Yeah. It's fine.
Sorry, I don't know how. It's so weird because I put my phone. Okay, we'll have to delete.
Don't worry about it. I don't care. I mean, come on.
My phone's on silent, but then it went to my computer.
Right.
Why is it going to my computer is the question.
Because everything is shitty with the electronics. It used to be that you would have a conversation and you'd look at each other and then you'd end the conversation. Okay.
I miss those days.
Yeah. Okay. Where you didn't have a fucking phone. I hate the fucking phone. I hate it.
I miss the phone too. I hate it.
I hate it. It's like, and I realize I'm in Provincetown right now. I have a house in Provincetown.
Oh, nice.
And, yes. And so I sleep with the phone. I usually don't sleep with the phone in the room in New York, but I do in Provincetown because I set the alarm on the phone. But I hate it. I hate that that's the first thing I look at in the morning. It's like, fucking get away from me, you fucking asshole.
Oh my God. I feel the same way. And I hate social media. I need to like get off of it all.
I hate it too. And you go on and then this is what I've been doing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go on. Right. And then I look at the clock and I'm like, I just fucking did 20 minutes and I'm old. What the fuck? I don't have 20 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. It's a waste of our lives.
So your stand up, what was your first special? Cause I, you know, you've done.
Oh, I did an album first.
An album. Right.
Yeah. And I should say that some of the jokes are similar. Like it's not like when I did my special, it wasn't like a whole new special.
Right.
Some of the same jokes.
Because right.
Bruce is like, a lot of people will not have heard your album. So, you know, it's fine.
Bruce is good. I like Bruce.
He's very great. So I did my first album at Portland Helium. And yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. And then you
Sad Lemon.
Sad Lemon. I have that right here. It's called Sad Lemon because of a drunk woman who spilled a drink on stage. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, so one of the shows, I just knew it wasn't going to be the show. It was just a disaster
the whole way through.
And then there was this woman and she kept shouting stuff and she was drunk and then she spilled her drink and then the lemon was on the stage. And I was like, now there's just a sad lemon on the stage. And I just said that. But then later on, towards the end of the show, I said, well, this isn't going to be the show, but if you guys want to shout out title ideas, just go for it.
And
somebody said Sad Lemon. And I was like, actually, I really like that.
I love that. Thank you, Sad Lemon person.
Yeah, I still don't know who it was, but
okay. So one of your bits, which I wanted to talk about, is, you know, you talk about what it's like to be in your 20s and your 30s. And I also, I did a bit talking about being in my 40s and 50s, but saying in your 20s, it's when you're trying to figure yourself out, what the fuck's going on, 30s. You get married and have kids, 40s, you get, you know, divorced and start having medical problems. And the 50s is like, fuck you. I don't give a shit. I love that you have this whole bit about 20-year-olds, how funny it is that they actually think they matter, which is so true. And it's what is sort of kind of what's wrong with stand up now is that, you know, these politically correct, oh my God. And it's like, you've lived on this earth for 20 years. Okay. Don't tell me what words I can't say and can say, and don't tell me what topics I'm not supposed to broach or talk about. Like, shut the fuck up. So I love, but you do it in a nice way.
oh, thanks.
But you said, it's funny because you're like, cause you people think you matter. Like, it's just so funny. And you said people got offended in Boston. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, one time I did it. I thought that was so funny, though, because, yeah, I did it at the Comedy Studio. You know, remember when it used to be on top of the Chinese restaurant?
Yes, yes.
And so there were a lot of Harvard kids and MIT kids that would come. And I think there were a bunch of Harvard girls. And they just looked, they were like the quintessential girls that thought they mattered. They like looked all perfect. And, you know, they had gotten dressed up for the night. And like after that joke, they walked out and they complained. And they were like, we just were really offended by that joke. And I thought, how ironic that the joke that, you know, like you think you matter so much that I'm going to care that you got offended by that. Like, that's ridiculous.
I love that. And it's why is it that people think they can go to a comedy club and be offended and that anyone gives a fuck? That's why you're there, you fucking asshole.
Right. And that you think that joke was written about you. Like,
I know.
I'm looking at you doesn't mean it was written about
you. I say that all the time. You know, I did write a book about free speech called Yes, I Can Say That. But I say in interviews all the time, guess what, people? No one was thinking about you when they wrote that joke. Okay. Exactly. The world doesn't fucking revolve around you.
That is the main problem. And my latest bit is about how, like, they're making documentaries about all these young people now. Like, they made a documentary about Billie Eilish, who was just born.
Right. You know? right.
Like, you know, I just don't understand what she has to say in a documentary
context. Exactly. Yeah. Now you have the 30s. Can you talk about, the 20s is you people think you matter.
The 30s is when you become a person, because I don't think you're really a person yet. You don't know who you are. You're high on different personality types.
Right.
And then you turn 30 and you just get your mom's haircut and call it a day.
Right. And I had a friend say to me that the way you look when you're 37, this is what someone told me, is your style for the rest of your life. You know how, like, people.
This is it.
That's it. 37 is such a great age, though. But that's what people say. That's what this woman told me. So, like, whatever you're wearing, like the way your hair is and blah, 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 that's the way it's going to be. And she's been right so far. So you say, can you tell the joke that being in your 30s is like sort of being at a casino? Can you do that?
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do your joke.
Can you do your joke about the casino?
Well, like, if you're in your 30s and you're not married and you don't have kids, it is like breaking even in a casino. right? Because you didn't win, but you didn't not win.
Right. I love that bit. I love that bit.
I told it like how I'm like, I'm so sick of that joke. Yeah. Like, you know that joke.
I know. And I heard you say it on other things, but it's kind of true.
Because it's when you start to realize that like a lot of people that you thought had their life together, like a lot of people who are married and have kids are like questioning.
And miserable. Wait till your 40s and everyone gets divorced. So why do you think you have such a knowledge of, you know, it's just the way you can figure that out, that most people are not that aware. Oh, this is a decade where I do this. This is a decade where, you know, like you kind of sum it up really well and not take yourself so seriously. And this is the other thing I want to know.
Yeah.
Do you feel old?
Yes, but not in the way, I don't feel old because I know I'm not old.
Right.
So I don't feel old because of my age. I feel old in that, like, I feel like I see things like as an old, slightly older
person. Right, right. I know. It's the worst,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is the worst because you see things before they happen.
Right. So you don't feel old.
I know I'm not old, but I feel like, you know.
I mean, you feel older. Yeah. You know that you're a fucking baby, right? I mean, I'm telling you right now.
That's like, well, that's also what I talk about is that 30s isn't old, you know, in your
30s. I know. So. But most people in their 30s are like, oh, I'm in my 30s.
I know. Like, that's what I talk about. I'm like, they spend 10 years saying they're old. You know? And then they're like, wait, I could have just used that time for other things.
Right. And that never ends, by the way, never ends. And I also spend a lot of my time saying I'm fat. So, and then I look back. Right. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, I was so skinny in my 20s and 30s and like big 40s. And now I'm like, now I am fat because of fucking menopause. Not. Yes, menopause, fucking COVID, fat. Okay.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
What are you looking forward to in your 40s and your upcoming? Like, what do you want? What are your goals?
Well, I think a lot of my goals are just what we were talking about, which is sounding more like myself on stage and being, and also being more myself in real life, you know, because I think I've struggled a lot with this sort of people pleasing mentality.
Yeah, get rid of that shit. Yeah.
I don't want it anymore. I'm sick of it. It's detrimental for your relationships and for, you know, and it's not who I am either.
Right. You gotta,
person.
You gotta get up there. You will. You will. It's only been what, 10 years?
It's been 8.5 years.
8.5 years? Oh, fuck it. You are doing great, Erica. You should fucking, yes, you're doing great. Just be true to yourself and you're gonna get there. You just wait. In the next couple of years, you're gonna be like, wow.
I know. I feel like I want to start over. That's my mentality right now. I'm like, I want to like screw the act. Just get
then
up.
Then do it. Go do it. Go fucking do it. It's so, cause you do lean on it. You lean on it. Lean on me. But yeah, go up there take risks.
Lean on what? Lean on what?
On the act. Like you're like, this is easy. This is.
Yeah. You're like, I just do my jokes and that's it. And now I'm like, I can't do my jokes anymore.
Right. That's a great, that's a stand-up because I get bored too. I'm like, I can't do this joke anymore. Yeah. I'm done. Yeah. Okay. I'm very sorry about your father. I lost my father when I was in my 20s. It's awful. It's just an awful, especially, you know, your father, and my father was a CPA. and he was a tax attorney. He was a lawyer.
What company?
Oh no, he worked for the state of New Jersey. And he wrote the tax laws for the state of New Jersey and he corrected the bar and CPA exams. He was really smart. Dead.
Wow. So, what was his name?
Harold Gold.
That was my dad's name. My dad's name was Harold.
Harold Dean?
Harold Rosenblum.
Oh my God.
My grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Harold Rosenblum. Oh my God. Harold Gold and Harold Rosenblum.
My dad was my grandfather.
Yes. Now, what year did was your grandfather born?
Oh man, I don't know.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, because my father would be 105.
Wow.
He was older when he had me.
Close to Harold's age, I think.
Yes, Harold. It was a very popular name then. Do you think anyone's ever going to name their kid Harold again? It's not,
Well, maybe okay. Harry, maybe Harry.
Yeah, there's a lot of Harry and Harrison and, you know, and my son Henry. Henry is named after, he's named after Harold. Okay. So, do you want to have a family? Is that ever entered,
You know, I thought I did. It's I'm having so much trouble thinking that's something I need to force in my life.
Yeah, Yeah. It'll happen. If it happens, it happens. Blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to find love, but I don't like the dating apps and I don't like that way of finding somebody.
Right. And then what is your ultimate, besides becoming a great stand-up, do you want to do more TV? What do you want to do?
Well, I'd like to create my own stuff, I think, you know, I don't really like just trying to put myself in someone else's thing.
It's very hard, especially when you're an individual, when you're a different.
To be your own person. And I love making my own stuff. I'd like to get more into writing too. I'd like to write a book. I'd like to write.
You're going to do it all. You're going to do it all.
Right.
Here's something you'll be hearing for your entire career, like I am. You're a very specific type. Okay, that's something you'll be hearing for the rest of your fucking life.
I think it's a compliment, you know?
Yeah. It's basically saying no one else is like you, and we don't know where to put you. We don't know where to... All right. So I always ask a question, though.
Do you feel like as you've gotten older, you embrace that more? Like, do you feel like...
Absolutely. You know...
Yeah.
At some point you get to the stage where you're like, okay, nothing you say is, I've heard it all. You can't knock me down. I've been humiliated.
Yes.
Fuck it. I mean, but it does take a lot of, it's hard. There's so many ups and downs and, you know, and again, you know, social media is really, I mean, talk to the people who are doing stand up. Before social media. And now it's like, oh, wait, we did all the right things and now the rules change. But it happens all the time. You know, the rules change and I guess you have to embrace it, but whatever. Okay. Yeah. So here's my two questions I ask all my guests. Number one, we are very pro mental health. Now we did talk about ADDDDHHHHHD. What do you do for your mental health? Do you take meds? What are your mental health?
I found the best life coach I've ever had because I've gone through therapists and they never worked for me. They've fired me. I don't know. We broke up and, I've had diagnoses all across the board, you know, depression, blah, blah, blah. The only person who's ever gotten through to me has been my coach that I'm working with now. We talk every day.
No way.
Yeah. Every day we talk and he is very into action based stuff.
But okay.
He helped me through my dad's death. He told me what to do. He talked to me through the whole thing. I mean, he was amazing.
Okay. The thing that I'm fearing right now is that he's a cult of personality. And you're too attached to him.
Probably true. Yeah.
So you talk every day for how long?
Well, sometimes it's longer. Sometimes it's an hour. And sometimes it's just like a check-in, like 10 minutes.
And you have to pay for this?
I do pay a weekly thing, but it's not too bad.
And does he do this with other people?
I mean, he's coaching a lot of people. Yeah.
Wow. Does he have a doctorate?
Not really. He's his own, like, talk about his own thing. You know, he does it his own weird way.
All right. Can I just find out how old he is?
He's got to be like almost 60 or something.
Okay. All right. As long as he has life experience.
But I've never met him. We do it on the phone.
Wow. You've never seen him?
I mean, I know what he looks like.
Right. But you didn't do Zoom.
Fitness. He's very into fitness, you know.
All right. I don't know if I try. And he's LA?
No, he doesn't live in LA.
He lives in
Ohio or something.
Okay. Where the fuck did you find this guy?
Sounds really weird.
Have you spoken to your mother about this guy?
Yeah. She knows about him.
All right. How did you find him?
Through a mutual friend.
Okay. I'm very concerned about this attachment you have. Every fucking day, do you talk pretty to him much. More than you talk to your mother?
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is mental. How long have you been life coaching with him?
For over a year.
Okay, we need to check back in a few months because I need to know what the fuck is going on with this guy who's taking over your life. Is he Jewish?
He's helped me take control of my life.
All right, good, fuck him. Yeah. Is he Jewish?
No, he's Greek.
Oh, okay, so he has hairy balls. All right, now... I can't believe I just said that. We always say Harry Balls in our house.
It's funny because his name is Harry.
It is?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Okay. Does Bruce know about Harry Balls?
He does. Bruce knows about everybody. Actually, everyone in my life knows about him. And everyone's like, thank God for Harry.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone's like, thank God you met Harry.
Wow.
Yeah, because
is Harry married?
No.
Uh-huh. See, there's issues there. Does Harry have kids?
No.
Okay. There's something going on with Harry. I don't
think it's like that.
All right. Whatever. Maybe he could be gay. And
he says things like, you're like a daughter. You're like a daughter to me and stuff like that.
Okay. You know? This is getting weird. Well, at least you have it. And you won't Zoom. You go on the telephone.
Just the phone. Yeah. No Zooming.
So he could be jerking off, is what I'm trying to say.
Oh,
I'm kidding.
God,
God, I'm so inappropriate. I'm sorry. Now that's going to be what you're thinking.
Take it back.
All right, I'm taking it back. Okay. All right, sorry. That's so funny. All right, that's number one. So we have Harry as your mental health professional.
Yes.
And number two. Now I call the podcast Kill Me Now because I get aggravated at everything because I am my mother's daughter. What pisses you off more than anything in the whole world? Like what fucking makes you crazy?
Well, oh my God, there's so many things, but lately, and I know this is over the top, but I can't stand people liking my texts.
Oh, with the finger up?
Yeah, with the finger.
Lazy.
So they do it all the time and all my friends do it. So it's like, I'll text them and I'll say like, hey, you know, you want to talk? And then it's like, and then they respond. Why do you have to like it if you're responding?
Okay. You know what? I agree with you. Here's what I feel is so weird. And I know you're a words person. So
yeah,
you love words. And I love that about you. But here's the thing. We have gone from, okay, literally calling on a telephone and having a conversation, making plans, and then just trusting the person's going to meet, you know, like that's how it was. Okay. We've gone from talking to then, and writing letters now to then it went to email. You could send people emails. Now it's texts and with shortened words. Like they don't even have fucking time to write out the fucking word.
Yeah.
And then, and now it's like not even react, like you pick a fucking thing. Like I can't take it anymore.
I can't take it either. And just say, okay. Like I'd rather someone just say, okay, than a thumbs up or liking something. And I don't like emojis either. I just I like words.
I know. I'm the same way.
And they're smart people. And they're smart people just dumbing down.
They're just lazy.
Yeah, right. Their phone is making them dumb down. So they're like, oh, there's an option to be dumber and lazier. Then I'll take that option.
Wait, this is the worst. Thank you notes for like a bar mitzvah or what? And it's like, dear blank, it's already pre-printed. That fucking pisses me off.
I haven't even seen that.
Oh, yeah. It's like, dear blank, thank you so much for the blank. Here? Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Is I'm so happy.
Is it handwritten or is it like?
No. There are cards that are, it's like you fill in the blanks. Or don't fucking send me an email. Thank you. No, sorry.
No.
I always write thank you notes hand by hand. People will say to me on my stationery and people will say to me, thank you for your thank you note. Like I haven't ever received a thank you note in forever, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's nice to get a thank you note.
Yes. I love that. Yeah. I love that you hate that. Yeah. You're an old soul. You're an old soul, Erica. Erica Rosenblum. You would have been doing so much better if you had just kept that fucking name. I'm kidding.
It is possible.
No.
No.
Do you do anything Jewy in your life or no? No. You wouldn't have to think about it. Do you do Christmas tree and all that shit? And like,
yeah, I mean, we do that.
Dean really gave it all up for Christy.
He was sort of agnostic. He kind of just didn't care. And I kind of think it's funny that he got religious like the day before he died.
He did?
You know? Yeah. Like he suddenly, like at one point I asked him he said, where am I? Cause he was sort of, you know,
out of it.
And then I said, you're home. Like, where do you think you should be? And he goes, heaven. And I was like, wow. now you believe?
Oh,
that's the day before?
Yeah.
Like, cutting it close.
Well, it was all stuck in the back of his head and finally came. But he's always with you. So that is the truth. That is the truth. I mean, my father died in 1990 and a day doesn't go by where I don't think of him. And same, my mother. I was close with my father and close with my mother, both dead, but both with me all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it just sucks. Erica, you are a delight. And I really want to be on a stand-up show with you. So tell Bruce to fucking book us together. Because you're fucking hilarious. And I feel like we would totally, our stand-up would totally complement each other's. Because I've seen you.
Yeah. For you. You're the best.
Please. No, Erica.
You are.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the adorable, wonderful, wonderful Erica Rhodes. She is so adorable that she hand wrote me a thank you note. Okay, that's class, people. I love this woman. I love her. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. If you like the show, what are you going to do? You're going to subscribe. You're going to leave a review. It's going to be 5 stars. You're welcome. Thank you. Whatever. Okay. Please. Also, you're going to go to my website, judygall.com, and you're going to purchase my book. Yes, I can say that. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble, because it's really good. And if you haven't purchased it yet, there's something wrong with you because you listened to my podcast and you didn't read my book. Okay.
the audiobook is really good. And now that it's summer and we're all going to be traveling and driving, even though there's a gas shortage, you know, it's fun to listen to in the car. Maybe not for the kids, you know, because I use some words. Also, check out Hysterical on Hulu. It's a fucking great, great film about what it's like to be a female, because I'm a female comedian. It's really, really great. Check it out. Also, I can't thank you enough for supporting me and for listening, because I can't believe we did, like 300 episodes last week. That's amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Everything, it would all mean so much to me if you would, you know, check it out. And all, you know, on my judygold.com. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Judy Gold, J-E-W-D-Y-G-O-L-D, because, you know, I'm Jewish. And thank you. Please get vaccinated. Please fucking get the vaccine, okay? It's so important. We got to eradicate this. I said eradicate. That's right. So thank you all so much. Have a great, great week. Get your fucking shots. And as we always say, so long. G-g-g-g-g-g.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.